And so we got about 3 minutes before break now, and we'll come back in the next segment. He's got the total floor to break down the history, the encirclement, and how he believes this is building towards confrontation with Iran, with two more aircraft carrier groups going into the Gulf. But before, you know, your bio is so lengthy, Professor, you've worked at so many high levels of international organizations. You're an expert on Russia, on the Caucasus. This is your particular speciality. So tell us a little bit about yourself and then get into what's really happening.
Well, I'm a professor of economics and director of the Center for Research on Globalization, which is based in Montreal. And I'm the author, my most recent book is entitled America's War on Terrorism. We are really at the crossroads, I think, of a very serious crisis, because the war in the Caucasus, in effect, it's not intended in any meaningful way for Georgia to reestablish political control over South Ossetia. Otherwise, the attacks would have been conducted in a very different way. These attacks essentially constitute a provocation. They were aerial bombardments and ground attacks initiated on the 9th of August 7th, largely directed against civilian targets, including residential areas, hospitals, and the university. Can you imagine? Immediately, Russian forces intervened. And Russia knew that these attacks were going to take place. Russia also knows, and it's very clear from the press reports, that these attacks were coordinated by NATO and the United States. Why do I say that? Because in Tbilisi, you have a whole contingent of U.S., NATO, and Israeli military advisors. In fact, one of the press reports even confirmed that Israeli advisors accompanied the infantry divisions which crossed into South Ossetia. And other reports confirmed that there are up to more than 100 U.S. military advisors on hand. And just prior to these events, Georgia and the United States conducted military war games, in other words, war games. In fact, they took place in the two or three weeks prior to the August 7 attacks. And, of course, the usual disclaimer, these war games have nothing to do with the situation in South Ossetia. But immediately when these war games were completed, what happened was that they started shelling the provincial capital of South Ossetia, and this resulted in more than 1,500 civilian casualties.
Okay, we've got a break, Professor. Short break. We'll have 15 minutes with you on the other side. So a classic provocation at the university water treatment plant, other facilities that already turned the water off a month before the South Ossetia to break them down. Then a sneak attack on civilians to create a provocation to suck the Russians in. Why is that happening? And then, of course, you have 1,000 Marines with the Israelis in a drill as a smokescreen to build the troops up around South Ossetia as a smokescreen for the sneak attack.
Of the 3 million-plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset, so try it today. Store it today and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
Are you fed up with all the side effects of chemicals in your shampoos and detergents? Even fragrances can signal some 4,000 separate ingredients, most of which are synthetic. Hi folks, Alex Jones here. Why not go back to basics and be safe with Calbin Pure Soaps? They're all natural and you'll save some 85% the money you're spending for your cleaning products now. Marty Schachter founded Calbin Soap Company in 1947 and provided products for health institutions. Now, Calbin Soaps are available to you and me. Triple concentrated for all your cleaning needs, from bathing and laundry to dishes, hair, and more. No harsh chemicals, no animal testing. I use them and love them, knowing they're all natural and safe, and I save big time. Call Calbin Pure Soap at 1-800-340-7091. That's 1-800-340-7091. Or log on to 5starsoap.com now for a free catalog. Again, that number, 1-800-340-7091 or 5starsoap.com for all your cleaning needs.
History of government-sponsored terror. Loose Change Final Cut. Endgame Blueprint for Global Enslavement. The True Story of the Bilderberg Group. The Late Great USA. America Freedom to Fascism. These are just a few of the hundreds of powerful documentary films and books available at truthnews.us and prisonplanet.com. When you visit prisonplanet.com, you can connect to our amazing online store. Whether you're looking for survival and wellness products like Berkey water filters, or you would like a book on the history of the Federal Reserve, we've got the most well-researched and documented titles, all available at prisonplanet.com. Or if you'd like, you can give the InfoWars store a call at 888-253-3139. Or you can view more than 1,000 titles in super high quality right now at prisonplanet.tv. Knowledge is power, and the information you need to effectively wake up your fellow man and fight the New World Order is available right now at truthnews.us and prisonplanet.tv. Join the InfoWar today.
The brother in love, the sister in love, I feel this morning, I feel this morning.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Alex Jones. We're talking to one of the chief global research writers, Professor Michelle Chasidowski. Let me tell you who we have on this show. People who have accurately, over and over again, predicted and charted what is going to happen in the months and years to come. This is a guy who's always been accurate about government-sponsored terrorism, about the economy, about what's happening in the Middle East, Central Asia, Russia. Now, for those that just joined us, he went over the sneak attack, which, as I said in the first hour, we concur, was meant to draw Russians in. The Georgians knew that they would be repulsed. Some are saying it might have been a test of Russian resolve, but I think they knew what response they were going to get. And now it's meant to draw Russia in, just like in 79, 6 months before the Soviets invaded, Operation Cyclone, they attacked the Russians to get the Russians to come into Afghanistan. That's not taught on, you know, television and mainstream media, but it's in the mainline textbooks. Just like they attacked the Serbs using Albanian Al-Qaeda, the Serbs fight back. The media says, oh, look at the Serbs viciously attacking. Professor, I want you to cover what's really happening now from the point of why they've launched the attack. But first off, the first two or three days, I had people arguing with me in radio newsrooms, at TV station I happen to be at, on the street saying Russia attacked Georgia. That's how bad the Western media is spinning this. Now the public is finally finding out that, no, it actually was Georgia that attacked Russia. But it's amazing to me that the public is so out of touch that the mainstream media could try to get away with that.
Well, the mainstream media often contradicts its own assessments and figures, because I looked carefully at the reports that came from the BBC, and the BBC said at least 1,400 deaths in South Ossetia, and they reported essentially the air and artillery bombardments, leaving the capital without water, etc., etc. And then they turn around and say casualties incurred in Georgia, something of the order of 63, blah, 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 going up to 130, 37 civilians and around 130 dead in Georgia. Now, if Russia had attacked, the figures would be reversed. It's obvious from the civilian casualties that this was an attack by the Georgians, which was coordinated, as I mentioned earlier, by the United States and NATO. There's absolutely no doubt to that effect, that this was not something which the Georgians implemented on their own volition.
And now we have the Russian president, Russian generals, and others openly coming out and saying they know the U.S. Is behind all of this. This is a huge geopolitical escalation led by a vanguard of Ukrainian and Israelis in there involved in the shooting. Please continue with why they've launched this provocation now.
Well, I think it's the most serious showdown in Russian-U.S. relations since the Cuban Missile Crisis in 1962. What they want is first, they want to confront Russia more generally in the region, not only in the Caucasus, but in the Central Asian Middle East region, where, of course, Russia also has oil interests. It's an ally of Iran and so on. And there's another factor, I think, which is very important. As you mentioned earlier, there are now five strike carrier groups in the Persian Gulf. Persian Gulf, Arabian Sea, Red Sea. Following the completion of these war games, which took place off the northeastern Atlantic coastline, out of Norfolk, Virginia, these were war games which were entitled Operation Brimstone. They involved the participation of Britain, France, Italy and Brazil, and upon completion of the war games, the entire joint task force sailed for the Persian Gulf. And they said very explicitly, Operation Brimstone, the objective is aimed at training for operation in shallow coastal waters such as the Persian Gulf and the Strait of Hormuz, and it is intended to display U.S. and allied combat capabilities as a warning to Iran. It's very explicit, because usually when they have these war games, they say we're going to attack Syria or whatever. You know, they invent the name of a country. Syria was used in earlier war games. In fact, it was China. But in this particular case, they say very explicitly, these war games are intended to prepare for a naval blockade of Iran, which is tantamount to a declaration of war, and this entire
blockade, Professor,
is now heading for the Persian Gulf.
Well, Professor, as you know, a blockade is the most ancient form of warfare, or
absolutely,
total warfare. It is naval siege.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. But I think what's happening now is that you have the events in Georgia, which evidently are distracting Russia from the broader military agenda of the United States and coalition forces, because Russia is also firmly opposed to these war threats directed against Iran, which are illegal. I mean, there's absolutely no reason to attack Iran. Even the CIA's national intelligence estimate last December stated very clearly that Iran does not constitute a threat to global security. So that, in effect, why are they attacking Iran? Because Iran has 10% of global oil and gas reserves. and that is five times those of the United States of America. That is why they want to attack Iran. And Russia is a countervailing power in the region, and so is China. Both countries have military cooperation agreements with Iran. They are members of the Shanghai Cooperation Organization, which is a military alliance. Iran is an observer member of the SCO. So what we're dealing with potentially, if the United States goes to war against Iran, together with a number of coalition countries, including France, Germany, Italy, and it seems Brazil is also prepared to go along with it, because they sent a warship for the war games in Virginia. So,
well, sir, we've seen this over and over again in history. This is how wider regional conflicts and, of course, the first two world wars began, are all these alliances. And as you said, the sneak attack on these Russian enclaves, the numbers are well above 2,000 coming out now, all these buildings collapsing on people, vicious sneak attack, the demonization of Russia. This is almost like it's a prelude towards wider demonization and clashes with Russia. Meanwhile, going back 6 months ago, the Russian foreign ministry continues to threaten even nuclear weapon usage against encircling forces moving military hardware, missile systems, radar, encircling the old Soviet Union. So it does appear that the PNAC plan of finally engaging Russia in a world war will happen. I mean, do you think the neocons are strongly considering having a nuclear war?
Well, I think that there are people in the Bush administration who are sufficiently diabolical and crazy and insane that they would, and also, I mean, you've got General Petraeus as well, that they can, and you've got the U.S. Congress, which are going along with this, that we could have a war on Iran. A war on Iran, as I've mentioned previously in many writings in the last 3, 4, 5 years that we've been covering Iran, is that even a limited bombardment of Iran's nuclear facilities will escalate, because Iran has capabilities of retaliation. It would attack U.S. military facilities in Iraq, in the Persian, in the Gulf states.
It's going to block the Strait of Hormuz.
And Israel, of course, is also part of this coalition, which really, and you can well imagine what that implies. The whole region would blow up. And
do you think they're getting ready to hit?
I've never made any kind of predictions. I've pointed to the fact that these war plans are real. Okay. And war plans are real, and we have to take them seriously. But we're not privy to when and if those decisions will be taken, will take place. There are lots of countervailing forces within the United States military. Fortunately, there are people in there who are sane and who understand that this is a suicide policy by the neocons. But on the other hand, we must understand that in the U.S. military, you obey orders. And if some wacko in the White House, let's say Cheney or Bush, press the button, well, then the whole command structure actually goes into full play.
He is Professor Michel Chasadosky, globalresearch.ca. We'll be right back.
More than 700 chemicals have been found in our drinking water. And did you know that you have greater exposure to these chemicals while taking hot showers than when drinking the water? That's because many chemicals are inhaled when they evaporate and others are absorbed into the skin. The KDF Dual Media Shower Filter works with both hot and cold water, and it's designed to reduce chlorine, lead, mercury, and iron, and it inhibits the growth of bacteria, mold, algae, and fungus. The KDF Dual Media Shower Filter typically lasts 10,000 gallons, or 1 year, whichever comes first. Hospitals, restaurants,